This morning what we're going to be talking about is more than conquerors. It is the direction in this series. It's the direction. What direction does your life take? Is your life taking? So I didn't know what to title this sermon. It could be direction, simply. That's what I put in the bulletin. But then as I was thinking about it, we could call it, or where are you headed? That kind of direction. Which way are you going? Or which way are you headed? Where are you headed, or which way are you headed? Which way are you taking? These kind of things have come across in my mind, and it's like we talk about God's way, and it is so slippery. It's hard to get a hold of. I hope that we'll be able to get some insight into it this morning, because I think it's very important to know where you're headed, which way you're taking. Do you know in your life, do you know what you're looking at down the way? We'll talk about that a little bit. As I mentioned earlier, this talks about direction. We're asking God to give us direction. How many of you fellas out there are like the old cliche that men won't stop and ask for directions? How many? Carol broke me of that. You got a Magellan. So we got a GPS thing. So, but how many of us have difficulty asking for directions? How many of us then, after asking for directions, have trouble accepting those directions? Yeah. I was working out here in the yard one day, and a guy came by. Stop. He said, what's the quickest way to Mount Baldy? I said, are you walking or driving? He said, I'm driving. I said, that's the quickest way. That's the quickest way to get there from here. I always like what Homer Simpson said one day. He was having a particularly good, in a particularly good, helpful mood. And he said, somebody asked me for directions. I didn't know where it was, but I told him how to get there anyway. To be in the right way. To be in the right way. And this way is called the way of Yahweh, the way of truth, the way of wisdom. And in the Bible you'll find it classified as the way of life. And this morning I want to just quickly look at these. That's what we're going to do. We've got enough time, I think, to get this under our belt so that we know what way we're going. It's very important to know which way we're going. The first one we're going to look at is the way of Yahweh. Now if you have, I don't know if there's room on the back of the bulletin to keep notes or not, but you can write some of these scriptures down if you want and look them up. Study them for yourself, meditate on them. That's all right. Psalm 86:11 tells us, here the psalmist is saying, rather, to God, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. That's asking for and accepting the direction. Teach me your way, and I will walk in it. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. That undivided heart is very important. We're going to see that in a little bit. Who are you serving? This undivided heart. David wanted a heart that was united for God. Not between God and something else. An undivided heart is important. The next one, Psalm 37:34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. We sang about that already. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Waiting on God is vital. Here's where that undivided heart is seen, I think, more clearly than anywhere else. Because we want to take things into our own hands because I'm convinced I can handle it better than God can. And so I'm going to get in there and I'm going to try to manipulate and control things. And that definitely shows a divided heart. A loyalty to myself and trying to be loyal to God, it's just not going to happen. Then he says also in Psalm 119, we find ourselves in this way that is divided. How can a young man cleanse his way, or a young woman? How can a young man cleanse his way? Well, by taking heed according to your word, David said. Observing what Scripture teaches. I know it's not going to be easy. And so some people will try to take the easy way out and say, well, I'll just be a good person. It's not going to work. You can't observe the things that God teaches in His Word simply by being a good person, because always being good is not the same as being godly. It's not. How can we cleanse our way if we find out this morning that we're in the wrong way? How are we going to make that correction? By sticking with what the Scriptures teach. And that's where you're going to have to read it. Read it. Read it. And when you get through it, read it some more. The Bible isn't one of those books that you can say, oh yeah, I read that. Put it away. It's not a John Grisham novel. I read that one already. You know, I can tell people who have read the Bible a lot, because they understand the more they read it, the more they find in it. If a person doesn't understand that, I am convinced they haven't read it. They don't know what's in it. So it's not, there's no easy way here. You're going to have to find out what the Scriptures say. You're going to take heed according to His Word. So we're going to look at that's the way of Yahweh, as we find in Scripture. This is the way of truth, wisdom, and life. I just wanted to put these all together. So just we wouldn't belabor the point. The way we go is our choice. As it says here in Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. The way we go is the way we choose. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but it's our choice. Nobody can force you into it. You know, you can take a thief and put him in prison, but that does not mean he's not a thief anymore. They can take a liar and cut out his tongue. That does not mean he is not a liar anymore. It's what we choose. No one can make us do this. But if that's our choice, God's going to give us everything we need in order to make it, to accomplish it. Here, a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the end of the earth. This is Proverbs 17:24. Look at what it says there. A discerning individual. A prudent man keeps wisdom in view. He knows what he's after. Wisdom. You only have to read the first four chapters in Proverbs to find out how valuable wisdom is. More than rubies, more than gold, more than diamonds, more than silver is wisdom. If you're going to seek for something, if you're going to strive to get something, Solomon says, make it wisdom. A discerning man keeps wisdom in his food. But a fool, what's a fool do? His eyes wander to the end of the earth. Is there something better out there? Is there something new? Something shinier? Something new and improved? Something faster? Something more high-tech? Something that's going to surpass this old thing of wisdom? Wisdom is the old thing. And the fool's looking for the next new thing. There is no next new thing as far as God is concerned. He's given us everything there is. There is no next new thing with God, only with man. And you know, there are all kinds of theories, practices, methods for churches across the country. New churches are coming up, and we're doing church in a new way, so they say. Have you heard of any of those churches? Doing church in a new kind of way? They're not. The method is still the same. It's the same kind of method we use right here. You get together, you do some singing, you hear the words, you go home. It's the same old thing. It's not new, but people flock to this new thing because somehow they think it's going to be easier than what it was before. Here's the path of life. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave, from Proverbs 15:24. The path of life, when we follow that path of life with wisdom in view, when we follow that path of life, it is going to lead us upward, Godward. It's going to raise us up. We're going to be above a lot of the troubles and the calamities and the arguments and the fights and the messes in this world. We're going to be above that. The path of life leads us upward. And that's going to be a distinctive effect. The fool, Proverbs says, as soon as he gets offended, blacks out his offense, the offensiveness of what's happened. A wise man hides that in his heart. Fool's got a blabbermouth. He'll tell you how bad he thinks it is. But a wise man will hide it, you see, because a wise man is above that. The path of life leads the wise upward towards God to keep him from going down to the grave. Learn of life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is that an honest request? Is that an honest request each of us can ask? Search me. Know my heart. Test me. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. This isn't just an exercise to diagnose the problem. It's just an exercise to see what's wrong and fix that. No. It is to change the things that are offensive when we ask him to lead us in the way of everlasting. There could be goals in your heart. There could be desires in your heart. There could be wants and thoughts that are offensive to God. Have you ever thought of that? This week, it was made painfully clear to me that not all of my thoughts are pleasing to God. And I want that to change. I want it to be me. And I'm thinking that if I'm that way, are there other people like that too, that have offensive thoughts or desires or goals in their life that are offensive to God? Here's the thing then. We need to ask them, show me these things and lead me away from them. Because the offensiveness to God is the way of death. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. That's God's way. Because there are basically just two ways. Oh yeah, we've got the way of Yahweh, the way of truth, the way of wisdom, the way of life, the way everlasting. We have these titles, but it all boils down just to two ways. You know what they are, don't you? How do we know? How do we choose? Well, let's see what Jesus had to say. Matthew 7:13. He suggested. He gave us this counsel. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Does that scare you? Does that cause you to tremble? Does that cause you to sober up somewhat? To take it a little more seriously when Jesus said, there's not going to be a lot of people to find it. Because it's narrow. It's restrictive. I like to think that it's a restriction between the rod and the staff. As David said, your rod, your staff, comfort me. It's that restriction. It's through this narrow way. And through that narrow way is the way of life. It's like the piano player. Evie might know what I'm talking about here. I never learned how to play a piano. Not because my mother didn't give me lessons, because I didn't let the lessons get into me. So I don't know. I never learned all the rules of meter and the timing and all of the stuff that goes with music. I never learned that. And so now when I sit down to a piano to play, I can do it. I can play it. Nobody wants to listen to it. Nobody wants to hear it. But I can make noise off a piano. It'd all probably leave if I did. Because it's not pleasing. But for a person who takes the restricted way through the lessons, learns all of the restrictions, learns all of the rules, and learns how to play, then they can take most any music and set it in front of them and play it. Right? Not only that, you see, it keeps getting better and better. Because pretty soon a person can play without any music. Maybe from by heart, from memory. And it even gets better than that. Because when a person learns all those restrictive rules, then they'll be able to make their own music. And I can't do that. Because I didn't enter into that way. You see, it's just like a teenager. 16-year-old teenager wants to drive a car, right? They have no concern how restrictive driving a car is. There are so many rules, and all the drivers are hypocrites anyway, I don't want to do it. You never hear them say that, do you? I haven't. And I certainly didn't when I was that age. But Jesus said there are rules, there's restrictions. Here they are. Come and follow me. You want to know what the two big restrictions are? Two big rules? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And your neighbor as yourself. Let's put one on this side, let's put the other on that side. And Jesus says, you enter into this narrow way. And you live. How do we know that we're in this narrow way? Well, here's a couple of questions you can answer. How do you accept Jesus' teaching? You read the New Testament and Jesus says something to you directly. The Word just speaks right to your heart. How do you accept that? Do you scoff at it? You make fun of it? Or do you take it to heart? That's one of the ways you'll know which way you're in. Because you can't have it both ways. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the scoffer. There's that way of making fun of the Word, making fun of Jesus' teaching. You can't have it both ways. So, how do we find the way? Here's a couple of interesting things. Know who you're learning from. Paul said in Romans 16, verse 17, he said, I urge you, brother, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. And these obstacles are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them. Keep your distance. Know who you're learning from. The other one is we need to live by faith. And he is also the father of the circumcised who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. That's a way to go. That's a direction. Is set before your face that wisdom we read in Proverbs. There is also a growing, strengthening, widening faith. Is that set before your eyes as well? Looking for that? That's where I'm headed. That's the direction I'm going in. That's what we need to ask ourselves. Because it really boils down to living like Jesus did. And here in 1 John, chapter 2, verse 6, it's simple. Whoever claims to live in him should walk as Jesus did. You claim to live in Jesus and you should walk like he walks. Walk in his way. He said, come and follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Put my yoke upon you. Climb in this harness with me. Don't tag along, but get right in here with me where the work is. Come and help me do the work. When he left, talked about the parable of the miners, the parable of the talents. He said that there was a rich man who came, gave money to his servants because he was leaving, and he told his servants, carry on my business. We've got business to carry on. That's Jesus' business. Is that set before you, or are you looking at the business of the world? Where is your view at? To the ends of the earth? Or are they focused on one thing? Well, is there a change needed? You have to answer that for yourself. I'm going to tell you my answer. My answer for me is yes, there is. There is a change needed. There isn't anything new. There's nothing new. There's like, you know, the diet thing. You got the Jenny Craig, you got the Nutrisystems, you got the South Beach, you got the glass of water, the grapefruit, the Hollywood, this diet, that diet. All kinds of diets. And you know why there's so many diets? Because people don't do them. Now you wonder, why, if people don't do them, why are there so many? Because the next new thing is going to sell until people realize, I can't eat what I want to eat, and I can't have as much as I want to have, and so, oh, here's a new diet. Oh, really? Yeah, and you lose lots of, try it. No, that didn't work. Here's your eat bacon-only diet. And that ain't going to work either, because pretty soon you're going to want some toast with that bacon, tomatoes and lettuce, too. What day and age, you know. There isn't any shortcuts. And so people want, I think they really have a sincere desire to walk as Jesus walked, to be in that way of life, to enter in at the narrow gate, but you know that broad way looks so appealing. Is there some new way that I can get some of the appeal of the broad way and still be in the narrow way? Now we have something. Still lead to death. There is no new way. It is the old way of doing it. There isn't any shortcut. You need to be single-minded and faithful. Single-minded. Pray, God, unite my heart so that I might walk in your way. So you need to be sure who you're learning from, what you're learning. What you're following, what you're looking for, what your goal in life is. What do you want? You know where you're headed. If you stay on this present course, where will you end up? There's two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. One leads to death, one leads to life. There is no third option. And the narrow way is the old way. Be sure, so be sure that you're following Jesus. That's what you can do. And then make sure that you're headed towards wisdom. If you need some help, things are a little bit cloudy to you, a little bit uncertain, come and see me. I won't blab it all over. If you need help, I'll be glad to help as best I can. Because I want you to know, I need help too. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. He's the master. He helps me so I can help you. I'm not the answer man. I'm not the medicine man. I'm not the magician. I'm just somebody like you that found something that wants to share it. That's all. And I'm willing to do that. If you want to do it privately with me, hey, that's great. We'll do it. It doesn't matter to me.